Welcome, my friends. This is the week of Advent 4 in the Christian liturgical calendar. And I am Dr. Michelle Townsend-Grove, and I am with my esteemed colleague.
Good morning, everyone. It's Reverend Samuel Felderman here. It is so nice to be joining you for another week of our UU Bible Study podcast.
Oh, thank you all for joining us. This podcast, which is following the Woman's Lectionary for the Whole Church, Year W, which is the Year of the Woman, by Reverend Dr. Wilda Gaffney, who, as you will hear from week to week, Samuel and I just admire, are awe-inspired, adore, yes, all of those things. So today we will be reading, preparing for Advent 4. The psalm is actually not a psalm this week. This week it's the Canticle of Hannah, which comes from 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 10. And then we will do the reading and some reflection on 1 Samuel 1, 19 to 28, which is the Jewish scripture for Advent 4. Samuel will begin by reading the Canticle of Hannah as it's found in the New International Version. And then I'll follow that up by reading Dr. Gaffney's translation.
Friends, our reading from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who is barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the ash heaps. He sits them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's, and upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and anoint the horn of his exalted one."
And now hear these words as Dr. Gaffney has translated 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. I encourage you to listen to the wide varieties of names given to God as you hear this Psalter. Hannah prayed and she said, "My heart exalts in the Holy One of old. My horn is lifted up in my God. My mouth opens wide against my enemies, for I will rejoice in my victory. There is none holy like the Most High, none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Speak proudly no more, multiplying pride, nor let arrogance come from your mouth. For the ageless God is a God of knowledge, and by God's deeds are accounted. The bows of the mighty are broken, yet the feeble gird on warrior strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, yet those who were hungry are fat. She who was barren has birthed 7 children, Yet she, who has many children, languishes. The creator of all kills and gives life, brings down to Sheol and raises up. The gracious one makes poor and makes rich, brings low and also lifts up. God raises the poor from dust and lifts the needy from heaps of human waste to seat them with nobles, inherit a seat of honor. For to the Creator belong the pillars of the earth, and on them God has set the world. God will guard the feet of the faithful who belong to God, while the wicked perish in shadow. For it is not by might that one prevails. The Holy One of Sinai, those who strive against God shall be shattered. God thunders against them from heaven. The fount of justice will judge the ends of the earth. God will give strength to God's rulers and exalt the power of the anointed of God. And now, at the ringing of the bell, we invite you into a time of reflection, and we'll bring you back to the next section with the ringing of the bell again.
Friends, our reading from the Hebrew Scriptures this morning on this, the fourth week of Advent, comes to us from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and we will be starting in verse 19. Hannah and Elkanah rose early in the morning and bowed down and worshipped before the Holy One of old. Then they turned back and went to their house at Ramah. Now Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Holy One remembered her. And it was with the turning of the days that Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. And she called his name Samuel, God hears. For she said, "For the God who hears, from the God who hears, I have asked him." Now, the man Elkanah went up along with his whole household to offer to the Holy One the yearly sacrifice on account of a vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned will I bring him, that he may be seen in the presence of the Most High and remain there perpetually. I will present him as a Nazarite in perpetuity all the days of his life." Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Do what is best in your eyes and stay until you have weaned him. May the faithful God establish the words of your mouth." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And she took him up after she had weaned him, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a jug of wine. And Hannah brought him to the house of the ever-living God at Shiloh, and the boy was just a little boy. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the boy to Eli. And Hannah said, "My Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman, the one who is standing beside you in this place to pray to the God who hears. For this boy I prayed, and the faithful God gave me my asking, what I have asked from God. Therefore, I have bequeathed him to the gracious God. All his days he will be at the behest to the Lord whose name is holy." So she left him there, and she bowed down and worshiped the faithful God. Thus ends the reading of the text. So, Michelle, there is a lot here in this story, and I'd love to hear some of the things that you've been mulling around about as we've looked at this text.
Thanks for this, Samuel, and thanks for the reading. It is a beautiful passage. And one of the things that strikes me, first of all, you know, it starts with a phrase that I think is important to know in the Jewish storytelling is always says this is good people. So Dr. David Hopkins taught me this out of Wesley Theological Seminary in the late 1990s. Hannah and Elkanah rose early in the morning. And he said, any time the storyteller says they rose early in the morning, you know these are good people. These are people who do right as best as they can in the sight of God. But if they sleep late, not so much. So I think that's a really important thing. Is that a judgment on any of us today? I'm not even going to go there. Okay. But in the historic storytelling, it's a really important piece to kind of look at. The other thing is that, you know, you read this story and you're like, hey, wait a minute. What happened before? Where did this start? And so it's important for the reader to go back and read the part before it at the beginning of Samuel chapter one, because Hannah goes to the priest and is basically praying, and the priest thinks she's drunk. And it's a great story. And so there's kind of a look back in this story to that, and it would be really good for the reader. Now that opens it up to all kinds of commentary about where this story is going, where Hannah is going, and where Samuel's going. Samuel, what about you, who has the same name? What's
yeah,
your
so
thoughts on this?
I love this story because, of course, this is the biblical text from which my name comes, and my mother always tells a sweet story that she prayed for me and I showed up and here I am, Samuel. I think there are a couple of things that are really interesting here. The first is, so in the place where this story falls, I think let's just start with the big picture. We are coming out of Judges and we're entering 1 Samuel. So there's this transitional reality that Judges, that of course last week we talked about with these sort of cycles that we were learning from the Judges, and we encourage you to read. We're now transitioning to a new thing. There's this break in the story. And so Samuel is going to become this really interesting character because he marks this transition that brings the people of Israel from judges, from being judged and ruled by judges, into a monarchy. And Samuel is this transitional person who brings that about. The other thing that, though, I do want to talk about is Hannah. I do want us to spend a moment looking at her. She is named, which is an interesting thing. There are really not that many women who are named in the Bible. And Hannah is named and is a central character. She is, so here we are in Advent 4, and for many, many in the Christian tradition who are following the liturgical calendar, in this year, the year 2023, Advent 4 falls on Christmas Eve. It falls on December 24th. So here we are, Christmas Eve, and it is very much worth noting how similar the story of Hannah is with the story of Mary from the Christmas story. This is true of the importance that Hannah plays, that she is named, that she's sort of the central character, the same way that Mary is in the Gospel of Luke, which is the gospel that most people will read for the Christmas Eve service. But the other thing I want to touch on is our canticle. If you'll allow me, our canticle that we read, you know, we didn't read out of a psalm. We read Hannah's song of praise after she has given her son. We ended with, so she left him there and she bowed down and worshiped the faithful God. And that line goes right into, and Hannah sang this song. And if you look at, if you go to the New Testament, into the Christmas story, in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, Mary has a song. It's known as the Magnificat, liturgically. And Mary's song is almost identical to Hannah's. Both will talk about the proud being brought down and the lowly lifted up. Both talk about the rich being sent away empty and the hungry finding enough food to eat. They both talk about God's mercy and grace in their lives. And so there's this real, we're in this interesting space that Hannah and the birth of her son Samuel represent this transition from one age to another. And Mary and her son also represent a shift from one thing to another. And so there's this literary play that's happening here that when you read the Christmas story, the author is drawing your attention and trying to point out, I think we can safely say, is drawing on a literary motif here and going in the same way that Hannah said yes to God and gave her son to the service of God and to, how she says this before him, I have bequeathed him to the gracious God. Mary is doing the same thing. And so there's this clear sort of warning to anyone who knew that story that this is the beginning of a big shift. This is the beginning of something new. And I think that's worth noting.
Good. Thank you for that. It's incredibly valuable to both note it and to reflect that these are transitional places, right? And that those transitions are huge. That probably speaks to us today in profound ways, because I believe we're in another profound shift within what it means to be in relationship with whatever it is we call holy, the divine, you know, those things, and how we gather as a people to do that. It might help us in those transitions that we're experiencing today. You know, Samuel, the other thing that's hitting me on this, and I'm kind of shifting a bit to much more of a kind of a pastoral care slash care of community and heart, because all of these stories are about women in a time in their culture where their identity was solely around giving birth to a son, solely. So a woman's identity was wrapped completely in them being the vessel to give birth to a son. And that's where they got any status at all. And even that was very minimal. So can you imagine if you are barren, if you do not give birth to a son, how low you are in the hierarchical society, you know, of that time? And all of us have been in positions where we have been visible and then we've also been invisible. And those who identify as women or who are of a gender or sexuality who understand what it means to be frowned upon, to be wanting to be kept in the shadows, whatever that might be. Reading this story and all the stories from Advent can be places where we can do some real reflective work around our own hurts and around those places where we might have done harm as well. And so I invite that of those who are listening. I mean, here is Hannah, who A, was barren, and then B, did give birth to a son, and then gave that son to the temple at an early age. For those of us who are parents, in whatever way you are a parent, that is an excruciating concept. And reflecting on that even, and what does that mean? And what was that then like for Hannah over the years? What other thoughts are coming for you
Well, I'm so grateful that you brought this up because I think that there's this really powerful and interesting interplay that I think is well worth acknowledging when it comes to a place of society and also place of experience, right? So
Nice.
over the course of our 4 weeks here in Advent, we have seen this story play out over and over again. And it's been really interesting because we've been all over the societal spectrum. We started with Hagar, an enslaved woman fleeing her master because of mistreatment, only to have an angel appear and announce to her that she is going to give birth to a son, is to call it his name Ishmael, and is to return to her enslaved life, right? The next week, we then hear of Sarah, whose name means queen. She's a woman of great power and wealth, who is told that she is going to have a son miraculously. Then we come to with the story last week that we heard of Manoah's wife. We don't even know Samson's mother's name. She's not even given a name, but she is told, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be a Nazarite, same as Samuel here, which we talked about last week. You need to set him aside for the Lord. We see now this with Hannah. We're not told exactly how wealthy they are. But by the fact that she's bringing a bull for sacrifice, we can assume that they were pretty well off. The other thing to note is that she is part of a polygamist marriage. The other wife is not mentioned here, but when the story starts, we are told that Elkanah has two wives. And that is also sort of a tip-off that they're wealthy, that it's rich men. It's wealthy men who have multiple wives, in this context. And so what you've got is this really broad swath of people who are involved, and in a positive way, that's really cool because what we're seeing is God at work, no matter where you are in the sort of strata of society. Thinking about this from a pastoral care perspective, the way that you were bringing this up about gender, what these four women all have in common, these four mothers, and what they have in common with Mary, who it will be celebrated here in the Christmas story, this evening and tomorrow, for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Is that what we have is a story of five women who have been told that they will give birth to a son that they will lose.
Wow.
The sons are, we're told, will be great. They will be rulers, they will be priests, they will be kings. But the common factor, the commonality between them is that their mothers will lose them. And what's being asked of Hannah here is to drop her son off and leave him
Right.
and give him up. What Hagar was being asked to do was to nurture her child so he could go off and become a great king. Sarah has Isaac, who is set to be sacrificed by his own father, right? And of course, Mary watches, as we get later into the year, we know how that story ends. We find Mary at the foot of the cross of Jesus as he's being executed. And what does it mean? What does it mean that this is the story that's being told over and over again of women being asked to give up their children
Yes. And how do we relate that to the experience of women and those of expansive genders and sexualities today who are asked to give up whatever, fill in the blank? And even though our society has made progress in many ways, there is still harm being done and harm that's being, felt and traumas.
Absolutely.
And so, no answers here, just holding the space for that so that we can have those conversations and feel all the big, complicated, messy feelings that go with that in hopes that the community can expand to do better.
Yeah.
As we have stated throughout this year, Dr. Gaffney actually each liturgical week provides a psalm or canticle, a reading from the Jewish scriptures, a reading from the Gospels in the New Testament, and a reading from the epistles or other New Testament work. And there's no way in which Samuel and I could effectively do all of that. So we've chosen to focus specifically on the Jewish scripture and the Psalter, knowing that hopefully next year we can do this again and maybe look at the gospel or look at the epistle. We haven't decided yet. So we encourage you to pick up Wilda C. Gaffney's book, A Woman's Lectionary for the Whole Church, Year W. And to read that, because Dr. Gaffney is brilliant in this, and you could see what the other scriptures are for each week, and then just hang with us. We'll get there eventually. And my friends, happy holidays. Whatever it is that you are celebrating, wherever you are in this place and the holiday cycle, we are with you and we are glad that you are with us.